The following is a paid advertisement. All views and or opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.
Welcome to Treat the Cause, the program dedicated to helping you find and treat the root causes of some of the most common health challenges. Dr. Kyle Pankinen is a board-certified chiropractic orthopedist and certified functional medicine practitioner. Join him as he teaches you about the causes and solutions to the health challenges that affect many people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kyle Pankinen. I'll be your host for Treat the Cause today. So glad you're joining us today. Just treat a patient yesterday who said, Dr. Kyle, I listen to your program on Saturdays and when you're on Thursday mornings too. And so good to hear some feedback that people are out there listening and getting some good information and enjoying the show. Today, we had a big topic. We're going to talk about bone health. Specifically, we're going to talk about osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is an extremely relevant topic for a lot of people, especially women, but some men also. It causes upwards to 1.5 million fractures per year. And these fractures are not just insignificant things if they are in the spine, which many of them are. A compression fracture in the spine due to osteoporosis is an extremely painful, life-altering event and can be weeks and weeks of pretty severe pain. Seen many of those in clinical practice. And also, research also shows that 50% of healthy women age 30 to 40, they're already on their way to developing osteoporosis. And that's kind of the hidden information or the not so thought about information when it comes to bone health and osteoporosis is most people think it's a disease of elderly or older folks. And while, yes, it does affect them, the process of it begins much earlier in life. We have a lot of adolescent teenage girls that are getting very little dietary calcium, vitamin D, and other nutrients in their diet. And that is a critical period where our bone density is gained, so we establish good bone health. And then as women get into their 30s and 40s and beyond and become menopausal, with the hormonal changes and so forth, bone density begins to go down, sometimes quite quickly in some people. And if they have not established good bones, good bone density early in life, osteoporosis is going to be in effect later in life, no doubt. And that's why we say it's a disease of younger people, because a lot of these younger people just aren't developing good bone health from the get-go. So there's some really good testing available for determining your bone health today. We're going to talk a little bit about that as we begin. We'll talk about the traditional medical test. It's called a DEXA scan, D-E-X-A, and it's a nice test. It gives you what we would call a static measurement of your bone health. In other words, it'll show you where you're at today, and a report will come back from this test, and it'll show if you have osteopenia, which is kind of the precursor to osteoporosis. It's kind of the stage below it. Or if you have osteoporosis, and then you can determine, is the osteoporosis mild, moderate, or advanced? And that, it's a nice test because it helps you make treatment decisions and how aggressive one needs to be in dealing with their bone health. Typically, the medical approach to a lot of bone health, besides some calcium supplements and some vitamin D, is they use drugs like Fosamax and these bone sparing, bone building drugs. And I would suggest to you as the listener that those are powerful drugs, but should be probably reserved for the moderate to advanced cases because they have some pretty horrific side effects. There's several of these drugs on the market. I just looked up one of them called Fosamax. And these are just a list of some of the common side effects. And this is not even close to a full list that I jotted down here. Fosamax, side effects. Severe bone, joint, and muscle pain. And they use the word severe in the studies that I looked up on that. Severe jaw problems. So they used a term called osteonecrosis. Basically, these drugs have a potential side effect as they eat away some of the bone in the jaw, which causes long-term problems there. Worsening of asthma. So somebody that has asthma or breathing problems that are taking these drugs, they are going to potentially see problems. So with any drug, you have to weigh the potential benefits versus the side effects. And for some of these drugs, the side effects are pretty horrific. And I unfortunately have seen some of my patients that have dealt with the side effects of these drugs. And had they known ahead of time what they were going to go through with side effects, many of them would not have agreed to have gone on a course of this. So, you know, I always tell people, in most instances, unless you have a condition that is life-threatening, an emergency situation, try to do non-drug, conservative, non-surgical treatment options first. So the benchmark or the basic tools to help with somebody with osteoporosis are the right nutrition program and weight-bearing or resistant exercises. So I'll give you some of the research that's been done on those two approaches. So the latest study out on it says the use of calcium and vitamin D in the management of osteoporosis. They did a big literature review, and the conclusion of the study was, they wrote several interesting things, but they wrote, most people do not receive adequate amounts for proper bone health. In other words, they aren't getting enough in their diet, not enough calcium, not enough vitamin D, and other specific nutrients, and therefore they're at jeopardy of having bone health. But it says also in this study, as reviewed, there is ample evidence that calcium, vitamin D alone have the ability to prevent bone loss and reduce fracture. The one caveat is that compliance must be emphasized. So it's hard sometimes to get people to listen to advice on their bone health when they don't have any obvious symptoms. And the obvious symptom of poor bone health is a fracture, which is kind of the end stage of it. So we need to convince women and men in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s to be making sure they get enough calcium and vitamin D and other nutrients in their diet to ward off this devastating problem. Another tidbit of research is that if somebody has an osteoporotic fracture in their hip, like a femur fracture, hip fracture, within 1 year, it has a 50% mortality rate. In other words, 50% of people that get those buggers, especially if they're a little older, they're not going to be with us in 1 year or less. That's a pretty sobering statistic. And then the research that they've done on the effectiveness of physical exercise on bone density in osteoporotic patients. And the review they just did, results from the review suggest a relatively small but statistically significant important effect of exercise on bone density in postmenopausal women. And they emphasize using progressive resistant training and weight-bearing aerobic exercise. So we're going to dig into this a little bit more as we go here. If you have a question, reach out to us at 507 752-7650, or look us up online at redrockcairo.com. Or you can email us at redrockcairo@centurytel.net. When you look at our website on redrockcairo.com, you will find a tab for Treat the Cause, and you'll find archives of all of our past episodes over the last nearly 2 years now. And there's a lot of good information there. There's certainly to be episodes on topics that would relate to you, a loved one, a family member. So if you're looking for more information on how to treat some of these common conditions, looking to treat the cause, there's a lot of good stuff there. So redrockcairo.com. Let's talk about some other testing. We talked about the DEXA scan. That's kind of the gold standard in the medical world for diagnosing osteopenia or osteoporosis. But it has one limitation. It only gives you a static measurement. In other words, it tells you where you're at today, but what it doesn't tell you is how quick is the bone loss advancing. That's an important fact to want to know, because that can really determine how aggressively you need to treat your bone health. So functional medicine, which I'm board certified in, has a beautiful test called a bone resorption assessment. It's a urine test, and we measure a couple of key markers in the urine, pyridinoline, which is, and deoxypyridinoline. And what these two little markers reflect are the bone collagen. In other words, if you see high amounts of these two markers in the urine, it indicates a rapid rate of bone loss. So if you have somebody that, say they have osteopenia, they get a DEXA scan, shows there's osteopenia, that are a precursor to osteoporosis, and they're maybe in their, say they're in their 60s. If we were to do this test and show, yes, you have osteopenia, but your bone rate of bone loss is very slow, well, that's a person that doesn't need to be quite as concerned. A little calcium, a little vitamin D, a few other nutrients, they should be pretty well protected. But what about the person who has maybe osteopenia or mild osteoporosis in their 60s? And they think, well, it's just mild, I'm in pretty good shape, but they don't know the rate of which they're losing bone. And you would do a bone resorption assessment and it indicates a high rate of bone loss. Well, this is the person that in 3 to 5 to 10 years, by the time they're in their 70s, they could be in some serious trouble, where they could be getting into a moderate to advanced stage of osteoporosis and be at a very high risk of fracture. So the bone resorption assessment is it's a vital test for somebody that's concerned about their bone health, because we want to know how quickly that person is losing bone, which helps us make very educated and informed treatment decisions. Does this person need to take more calcium and vitamin D? Do they need to get more aggressive with their exercise? May they need to consider one of the bone-building drugs that are out there, depending on how severe things are getting. Another beautiful test that we do for people with concerns of bone health or osteoporosis is to do what's called a micronutrient test. You know, we talk a lot about calcium and vitamin D, and how do you know, though, if you are needing more of it? How do you know if you have sufficient amounts? How do you know if you're deficient? Well, the micronutrient test can help people sort that out. It's a blood test, but it measures the levels of over 33 vitamins, minerals, amino acids, antioxidants in the blood to determine what a person is deficient in and what they are sufficient in. So not only are calcium and vitamin D important for bone health, but there's some other nutrients that are too. For instance, vitamin K, they're finding more and more all the time that vitamin K is very important for bone health. The mineral magnesium is important for bone health. The mineral boron is important for bone health. And also having adequate amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein, they find are important for bone health. So I like to use the micronutrient test on people that have concerns about bone health, because it'll tell us what we need to do in terms of changes in the diet and also supplementation. If you have somebody that has, say, mild or moderate osteoporosis diagnosed on a DEXA scan, and their bone resorption assessment shows they're losing bone density at a fairly rapid rate, well, we need to know what their calcium levels are at, and their vitamin D levels, and their vitamin K, and their magnesium, and their protein, so that we know how much supplementation we might need to put them on. In other words, how aggressive do we need to get here? And it also will show us if there's some areas where we maybe don't need to supplement quite so heavily. So it really takes the guesswork out of this, is what I'm saying, as to the amount or the dosage you need of some of these key and vital nutrients. Keep in mind, calcium and vitamin D have been shown in studies, and some of these other nutrients, they are a good solid treatment for osteoporosis. So bone resorption assessment, very important. Micronutrient tests, very important. A third test that is also very important is to do some type of hormone testing. A lot of the advancement in bone density loss happens in the menopausal years, especially in females, obviously. And it's because their hormone levels drop off. And it's important then to many times to test to see how much have those hormone levels dropped off and what can be done to mitigate the effects of that, to help the body to produce hormones at a little better level. So I like to do a hormone test called a Comprehensive Plus. It's a saliva test. And saliva testing has been shown to be superior to blood testing for levels of active circulating hormones, the free unbound hormones that get to our body tissue. And so we have these little collection kits that we send home with patients, and they collect saliva samples throughout the course of a day, and they're sent into a laboratory. These little test kits are. And what we measure with them are their estrogen levels, their progesterone levels, and their testosterone levels. We also measure in there those are the female hormones. And women have some testosterone. And we also measure something called cortisol and DHEA. These are hormones that come from the adrenal glands of the body, but they are very important in helping to determine how much your body will produce of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And what we're looking for are imbalances. In other words, is this person too high in one and too low in another, or vice versa, or are they just too low in general? And the key to hormone health is restoring balance. And the typical approach to hormone health is, and what they have used in the past, they'll use things like estrogen replacement therapy. Well, we all know the devastating effects that has had of causing more cancer, and much of that's been pulled off the market, and now they repackage it as bioidentical hormone, and they claim that is safer. Here's the approach I like to take to hormones. Instead of saying, "Oh, Mrs. Jones, your progesterone is low, here's some more progesterone," or "Here's some more estrogen." In other words, whatever's low, you just give more of. No, I like to stimulate the body to help it to produce its own natural levels of hormones, the correct amount that it needs on its own. And there are many ways to do that, by getting the person on the right nutrient program, giving the adrenal glands some support, the endocrine glands support, nutritionally, basically to try to give the body a little bit of nudge so that it produces the correct levels of hormone on its own. If you give the body, say somebody's low on estrogen and you give them estrogen, what do you think happens to the body's own natural production of estrogen? Your body basically says, I guess I don't need to do this anymore because they're just giving it to me. And over time, you actually make the problem worse. So a better approach is, okay, estrogen is low on this individual. Let's stimulate the body. Let's build the body up. Let's get the body producing the natural levels of hormone that it needs on its own. So I hope you understand that distinction there. So I would do bone resorption assessment, micronutrient testing, and potentially some hormone testing on my patients with bone health issues and osteoporosis. Had a patient in recently. She was in her 50s. She had went through a bout of chemotherapy for thyroid cancer. And she was weak and not feeling well. And we know that these types of treatments can deplete bone density. So we did a bone resorption assessment on her. And she scored at a 10.9, which is a high reading. And so we knew we had to get aggressive with her. We did some nutrient testing on her, found she was low on calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, boron. So we knew we had to get aggressive with this person. So we put her on the right dosages of calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, boron. We got her into a local bone builders class. And she did great. In a period of 6 months, we retested this. And we found by doing this, we were able to get her rate of bone loss back to a normal level. So had she not caught this and corrected this, she would be well on her way to developing osteoporosis. But we were able to catch it in time, to treat it appropriately without any drugs, and to bring her rate of bone loss back to a normal level. So this is just a simple example of somebody recently who did this type of testing and saw what their bone health was, and we used that information to put them on the right program, and were able to make a nice change, a nice difference in this person's life. I would say as we wrap the episode up and draw close to the end here that you want to start shifting mindset with this disease. It is something that you want to check on earlier in life. In the 30s and 40s and 50s, you test early and you treat early, especially in females, because you don't want to get to a point where you're 60 or 65 and, I'm at that age, I should get a bone density test, and you get it tested and you're already in a moderate state of osteoporosis. No, I'm trying to teach people to get it caught earlier in life. And if you are at those stages, you've already in that mild, moderate, or advanced stage, to do some of this other additional testing I've talked about is also important then so that we can know how aggressively to treat your condition. And this can be treated with a good diet. It can be treated with proper supplementation. And it can be treated with weight-bearing exercise. That is the researched, proven, non-drug, non-surgical way to treat the causes of osteoporosis and to keep your bone health up. So I just want to thank you for listening intently. A lot of information shared today in this episode on bone health. I hope it was relevant to you. We're going to shift gears on our next episode of Treat the Cause, which will come up on December 7th. And for the month of December, we're going to talk about the clinical benefits of doing laser therapy for pain. So pain's a big topic. I mean, pain affects all kinds of different areas of the body. But laser therapy, and I've talked about this some on the radio before, but laser therapy is such a wonderful, fairly new therapy that is available today to treat all kinds of acute and chronic pain. I've been using laser therapy for a little over 4 years now in clinical practice and have kept statistical analysis of every single patient that we've done it on. We hit at about an 88% success rate and taking somebody that comes in with some kind of pain, be it their foot, their knee, their hip, their back, their neck, their shoulder, their elbow, their wrist, whatever, and applying our treatment protocols along with laser therapy to those conditions and seeing a great meaningful clinical improvement of the person's pain. So if you or a loved one has pain of some kind, this is going to be relevant information to you. And laser therapy is something that you're not going to be offered in the traditional management of pain, which is typically the drug it, numb it, or cut it approach. So we're going to offer alternatives to that. We're going to talk all about the benefits of laser therapy, the research behind it, and also patient cases of pain that came in and how they benefited from laser therapy. So join us for that next episode of Treat the Cause on December 7th at 11:30 on KLGR. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen. Dr. Pankinen owns and operates Red Rock Chiropractic Center in Lamberton. You can learn more about the practice and request an appointment by visiting redrockchiro.com or by calling 507-752-7650. Red Rock Chiropractic has convenient hours to fit your schedule. Once again, you can contact them at redrockchiro.com or call 507-752-7650. Be sure to tune in next time for Treat the Cause with Dr. Kyle Pankinen.
The preceding was a paid advertisement. All views and our opinions are solely those of the advertiser and not KLGR or its parent company, Alpha Media, LLC.